Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Yeah, no pressure after that, right? Like, geez. Man, well, we were trying to stay just like cool, calm, and collective, and she's like, this guy's amazing. Like, yeah, okay. Well, hello, studio. Super excited to be here with you all this morning. I don't know about you all, but for me, I'm not the natural morning type. Anyone else with me on that, where it's like it takes a little bit to get up? Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here, for being obedient to the Lord and being here with that. Very excited about today. And, what I want to share with you all is actually something that honestly has been one of the most pivotal experiences of my life. And I'm going to unpack some of that. But for quite some time, my soul felt like it was missing something. I felt like anything that I did, like my life was great. Like things, honestly, like the Lord in the last few years of my life has absolutely blessed us. It's been insane. So things on the outside were incredible. But something on the inside just felt like it was missing. Anyone else kind of ever been in that situation, in that season of their life where it's just like, man, I'm doing all these amazing things, but there's something that's just not latching on in here. So I want to give you a little backstory of how I ended up in this situation. My wife and I, roughly 6 years ago, we had a dance company in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it was about a 10-year run of something that honestly was the, in my opinion, one of those amazing things that God's ever done in our life. The way that people's lives were impacted by what we were doing was just insane. The amount of people that either didn't know the Lord, believed in very different things, that came into this studio, which we very clearly talked about Jesus, and we were still able to unite people under one cause, was just phenomenal. So if you can imagine, the thing that you've dreamed of your whole life finally coming to fruition, and you're walking in it, and you're living in it, and all these things, like I'm known by so many people in our world, it's just phenomenal. And then at the height of it, God said, lay it down. And mind you, this was like right after we did a show that was like 1,500 people showed up to this show. So it was like jamming, right? And the Lord said, it's time to lay it down. So I'm like, all right. And we decide to move thousands of miles away from Tulsa, Oklahoma, all the way to Redding, California. So going from a place where I was highly known into a place where nobody knew who I was. And I began to spiral. You see, what happened was somewhere along the way, I began to allow myself to be fulfilled by what God was doing through me rather than the God moving through me. And it changed my perspective of what I was doing. It's a tricky place to be in, actually, because when you're there, it's really hard to recognize that you're in it. Godly passion and selfish ambition, they actually feel and look the same in the moment. It is incredibly hard to recognize it and distinguish it when you're there. But for me, one of the tells was that when the thing my heart desired came to pass, I wasn't fulfilled unless I was the one doing it. Let that sink in for a minute. So for the past 6 years, I was kind of in this place of spiraling and just trying to get some sense of my life up until about a few months ago. And I was at youth. It was just this insane worship moment. I was literally right over here and I was on my knees it was one of those worships where like it's good. It's like snot bubble good, you know what I'm saying? Like your face just exploded on the floor. It just like, you know what I mean? Like it's this amazing time of worship, and I felt the Lord say, you can hunger to be known by man, or you can hunger to be known by me. But you can't have both, and you have to choose. So like a week goes by, and I'm chewing on this thing, right? And I come back to youth the next week, and same thing. I don't know where I'm at in the room at that point, but just same thing, just snot bubble worship, right? And this time, what I felt like he said was, where I want to take you, you can no longer go. You must die. I would propose that every single person in this room has places God wants to take you. But it's going to require letting go of things that we've held on to. If the way we keep something alive is by feeding it, the question is, what are we hungering for that's keeping those areas alive that God wants removed from our life? So let me pray as we get started. Lord, don't let me mess this up. God, thank you for being with us. Thank you for being in our midst, for being the fulfillment of every hunger of our heart, for giving us the ability to just connect and be one with you. I ask that you would move through us today as we connect and we speak together, that you would open our hearts and our minds, you'd open our ears, that we would hear from you, God. And to you be all the glory. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to title this whole message, The Giant, the Apple, and the Stone, but that sounded a little Narnia for me. So I'm going to call it Hunger, but I don't know who titles this. If you're liking the Narnia version, feel free to put that on there. But we all have giants in our life, and certainly most, if not all of us, have heard of the story of David and Goliath, right? I think if you've been in, even non-Christians have heard the story of David and Goliath. So it's not an unfamiliar story, but there's something I want to dig in a little bit deeper from there. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17, let's start in verse 38. Just giving you a second to get there. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of a shepherd's bag, and with a sling in hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept going closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome. No comment there, Shayna. And he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give you your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Listen to David's response to this. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. What fascinates me about this story is that while Saul's army saw a giant, David saw something very, very different. In fact, to all of Saul's army, wearing the armor made sense, but to David, it made no sense at all. And why I believe that was, I'm asking myself, like, what is it that he saw that was different? Why was he able to see something different in the giant? And why I believe that was is because he hungered for something that was very different than the rest of them. Think about what the Bible says about David. They call him what? David is a man after God's own what? Heart. Very clearly, we know that David's hunger was for God. He hungered for the wilderness where he met with God, and in that place, his identity was found. So when he went against the giant, he didn't need the victory to validate his identity. He wasn't hungry for the giant, he was hungry for the wilderness. In fact, I would propose to say that he knew that his victory wasn't the giant, it was the wilderness. The giant was just in his way of getting back there. David's identity was found in the wilderness, not in slaying the giant. The thing that I want to make clear to you is that identity is built upon what you hunger for. And it's very easy to make our purpose about the giants we face rather than the wilderness we should abide in. We can look at the things in front of us and say, you know what? If I can just get past that, if I could just defeat this giant, if I can get past this mountain, my life will be fulfilled. See, what happens is when we don't know our identity, we begin looking at everyone else's armor and say, if I had what they had, if I had the finances, if I had the resources, if I had the platform, if I had whatever, you can fill in the rest, if I just had that. When we do that, we're chasing giants, not chasing the wilderness. Identity is built upon what you hunger for. Is this, am I getting through with this today? Yeah? Okay, good, good, good. So I've got some good news. We've got some good news. This issue that I'm uncovering, it's not a you issue, it's not a me issue. I believe it's actually a human issue that stems back to the beginning of humanity itself, the apple. So turn in your Bibles to Genesis 3:3. We're going to start there. Says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. We'll stop there. I want to make something clear about Satan. He is not creative. He is not a creative being. He actually lacks the capacity for imaginative creativity. And what I mean by that is he doesn't have the ability to say, I want this to happen, something that's never happened before, and then make it actually come to fruition. In fact, the only creation under God's hand that has that ability is you and I. Humanity is the only creation that has the ability to imagine and then create. Why I'm saying that is because Satan has to use a pattern, and he uses this pattern every single time. His biggest tool is doubt. So let's look here at just a second of the way that he approaches this. Nope, lost my place. He said to them, doubt, did God really say that? Did he really say that you can't eat this? Surely that's not what he said, right? Then he tried to get them to do something that God clearly said not to do. And here's the interesting thing. In verse 5, it says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What's fascinating is just a few scriptures before this, God made it very clear that he made man in his image and what? And his likeness. So he already made man in his likeness. Satan tried to get us to doubt that we were made in his likeness. Satan uses doubt to undermine obedience and dismantle identity. That's the pattern. So Satan got them to doubt what they already had, and feeling like they were missing something, it created a hunger for something they already possessed. And the apple just wasn't just an apple. It represented power, strategy, moral superiority, control, all these different things. And once they hungered for those things, they then ate of the apple, which was the counterfeit. It was the counterfeit of what they were looking for, momentarily quenching their thirst, but ultimately leaving them more lost than they were before they ate it. And I would venture to say they spent the rest of their lives chasing what they already had access to. Hear me on this. If you chase what you already have, you'll never catch it. And the longer you chase it, the more you convince yourself you don't have it. That thing you're looking for to be fulfilled, that emptiness that all of us have, you already have access to it. The question is, what are you feeding yourself that's causing you to doubt? What are you feeding yourself that's causing you to doubt? I look at my own life and the things that I've sought after and the different times that I chose to fulfill my hunger with what seemed reasonable rather than what was faithful. Physical hunger is not something that I'm unfamiliar with. There was a time in my life, in fact, it was like right after Shayna and I met, or it was right before we met, tell you how amazing of a woman she was. I was literally on the verge of homelessness, and I had about $5 a week to eat. A little pro tip here. If you're ever in that situation, choose oatmeal, not ramen. Oatmeal is so much more healthier, you won't have the high cholesterol. Yeah, pro tip there. But what's crazy about that is when you stay in that state long enough, you no longer recognize what you're actually hungry for. And you don't recognize hunger pains anymore the same way. And I think of the Samaritan woman at the well that Jesus came up to and he said, "Give me a drink." And then what he said to her was, "If you knew who had asked you for a drink, you would ask him for a drink. And he would give you living water and you would never thirst again." When you feed on the counterfeit long enough, you stop recognizing hunger for the real thing. And then continuing to believe the counterfeit will bring fulfillment, but all it ever does is make you empty. I watched a man firsthand choose the counterfeit over and over and over again. When I was a child, my father was a drug addict and an alcoholic. And honestly, absolutely wrecked my parents' marriage. That's a story for another time. But I remember when he began to go to rehab, and he would come home with these 30-day tokens, 60-day tokens, 90-day tokens, and he was so proud, and I was so proud of him. These were victories that he had, but there was one victory in particular that changed everything. I was 10 or 11 years old at this time, and we were Catholic, so shout out to my Catholic peeps out there. And middle of the week, so no reason to be at church. And we didn't really live like a Christian lifestyle. It was more of a tradition at that time. Middle of the week, and we drive into St. Alphonsus, which is a church in East LA. And we go in there. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? As a 10, 11-year-old kid, I'm just following my dad. And he kneels down. And I saw him just absolutely break. And he begins to just wail in a way I've never seen a man break before. See, those tokens that he received, those were giants. But in that moment, he began to chase the wilderness. And that one decision didn't just change his life, it changed his legacy. What you hunger for today will impact your future generations. What we feed is what will remain alive. What would happen if we stopped in those moments when we were hungry for something, trying to fulfill it? Maybe it's anxiety, and you look at Instagram because you're trying to just clear your mind. Maybe it's depression, and you're trying to get yourself out of, so you just look at Netflix all day. Counterfeit for the living water. What if we stopped in those moments and said, "God, I'm going to run to you"? What would that change in your life? So I want to give you the answer to this hunger thing that I'm uncovering. And Jesus modeled it so perfectly. The stone. This is in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. I'm just going to read the first part and paraphrase the rest. Verse 4 says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." There's that wilderness thing again. "And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" Now here's what's crazy, is that Satan tempted him in three different ways. Worship him, tempt God, and then turn the stone into bread. Of those three, the one that seems least morally deficient, especially after you've been hungry for 40 days, is to turn stone into bread. That doesn't seem like a big moral issue there. So I was very curious about what was happening here. If you actually study hunger, and if you fast for 40 days, the hunger eventually goes away. But then the last week of that, one of two things happens. Either you don't feel it at all, or it comes back with this fierceness of hunger that you've never felt before. The Bible says he was hungry. I imagine the way that David was in the wilderness working things out. You see, David, he knew that he can defeat the giant, not because he had defeated a giant before, but because he defeated himself in the wilderness. And Jesus got to a point where even the very hunger after 40 days was not enough. He knew that that wasn't going to satisfy. But bread, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he was referencing this section in Deuteronomy. I'm going to read just a little bit of it. But if you read Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 8, it's actually a narrative and a pathway for the Israelites to move into the promised land. Here's what it says, chapter 8, verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, the promised land. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all these ways 40 years, again, in the wilderness, listen, to humble and to test you, to know what was in your heart. God was developing identity, whether you would keep his commandment or not. Verse 3, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he may make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus was referencing this very moment, giving a much deeper message by saying, no, I'm not going to turn the stone into bread. I'm going to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know what happened after this? Jesus began his ministry. You know what happened when the Israelites did this? They walked into the promised land. You know what's going to happen for you when you begin to feast on God instead of other things? Sustained hunger transforms your identity and leads you into your promise. Sustain the hunger. Don't try to fill it until you learn to allow God to be the fulfillment. I'm closing here, if I can have the worship team come back up. Even when you are desperate for food, after not eating for 40 days, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There are places God wants to take you that you can no longer go. I know what it was for me. I had to stop hungering to be known. What is it for you? What is it for you that you need to change the counterfeit for the fountain of life? That you need to stop fulfilling those areas and sustain that hunger so things transform in you, so that your future generations will be impacted and changed. I want to give a chance for any of us that are, you know, feeling what I'm saying, moved by, you feel like there's something that you need to lay down. And make no mistake about it, what I'm talking about is a humbling of self. And I know the pain. Letting go of something that you've held on so dearly for so long feels like you're letting go of a part of yourself. But let me tell you, the life, the fulfillment, the stillness, the peace, the joy that I felt on the other side of it. I want to give you a chance that, and this, again, there's nothing special about being up at the front here. This is really just about you telling your soul that this is the decision you're making. And if that's you, and that's a place that you are, and you want to lay something down, you want to leave this place less like you and more like Jesus, I want to invite you to come up.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.